And I'd like to read again the first 8 verses. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. John, to the 7 churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the 7 spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail before because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. The Almighty. As I have mentioned before, we have the Gospels, of course, and then we have the words of the Lord himself. But then after he went up to heaven, then he sent the Holy Spirit. And through the direction of the Holy Spirit, there's continued progress in Christ's teaching, of course, as expanded by the apostles after he went to be at the right hand of the Majesty on high. So there's this continued progress. And of course, all the writings, of course, we have covered so far form a prelude, if you would, and a passage to Revelation, written to 7 churches in Asia Minor. There were other churches, and they were not included, but these 7 churches, they had certain things in common, and they had certain things that needed to be corrected. And so God used the Apostle John to go ahead and write to these 7 churches. The assemblies are separately named. And the independence of each is fully assured. And this is extremely important to realize that we here as an assembly, we are an entity directly responsible to God, directly accountable to God. We don't have an earthly head here, as some, well, in fact, most of the denominations and most of the churches do. They have head, they have all these different levels of hierarchy, but we are independent and we are responsible directly to God. And I tell people that the only 2 offices that the Bible recognizes, that is the elders and the deacons. Pastoring is a verb, to pastor, to basically feed, to take care of. So it's not a position. Yes, it could be a pastoring position, but basically a pastoring, pastor my sheep, feed my sheep, tend to my sheep, tend to my lambs and feed my lambs. Those are things, of course, God gives gifts for those to be done. So, of course, the last aspect of this theme, of course, concerns the things which must shortly come to pass. It's inevitable. Shortly, things are going to come to pass. And so, as I mentioned, I have mentioned before, and briefly I'll mention again, the events that are related to 3 great principles which appear through the whole New Testament that come into Revelation. One is the principle of judgment. And even in John 5, states that the Father gave the Son the authority to execute judgment because he is the Son of Man. And of course, it asserts again that the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. Death has got to be judged. Sin has got to be judged. Either in Christ Jesus, who was judged for our sins, those who have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, or sin is going to be judged. And so the wages of sin is death. And yet, it asserts again that it's not his will that any should perish. Any should perish. But the fate of a rebellious and unrepentant world is not only physical death, but it's eternal death in the lake of fire. The Lord Jesus is the one who created the lake of fire. He is the one who talked about hell, the eternal damnation of the unbelievers. He talked about the lake of fire. He is the one who did it. Okay, and the second principle in Revelation is redemption. Redemption unto him that loves us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. And then, of course, the executor of judgment is a lamb as it had been slain. Again, it's not his will, it's not God's will, it's not the Lord's will that any should perish. It's not God's will that any should perish. Even his judgment have a redemptive aspect. Several times the statement is repeated, they repented not. Even though judgment was coming upon them, and yet they would not repent. Some did, thank God, some did. Some turned to them, even through terrible times, and yet a lot would not repent. So, of course, the purpose of judgment is primarily to bring men to repentance. We see that, as I have mentioned, what a wonderful example there Nineveh is. Here's Jonah. He had to go to Nineveh, for judgment. Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. 120,000 men come in dust and ashes, fall on the ground, even their animals cover themselves with dirt and cry unto God. Just maybe God would turn his wrath away from them. And what was the result? They were all, they became believers in God. And then, of course, last of all, Revelation is the final word on the establishment of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. And he's going to rule. He is going to rule. But not only is he going to rule, but then he hath made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Not only is he going to reign, but we shall reign on the earth. Now the same Lamb, bearing in his person the marks of his suffering, is here seen as the object of heaven's worship. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And of course, we're going to reign with him. Oh, thank God that we're going to reign with him. And then, of course, after all this judgment, where the Lord himself comes, and then you have the millennial period, and then after that, after the last judgment at the great white throne and manifestation of the city of God, it is said that his servants shall reign forever and ever. He is going to reign. That's in Revelation chapter 22. The saints on high shall never cease to reign. I read these verses and just meditate, and I become so small. What does God see in me to give me such wonderful, wonderful possessions for eternities to come? Eternity, to inherit the same inheritance that our Lord Jesus Christ has. Oh, what a God we have. What a God we have. We're going to reign forever and ever. And the saints on high shall never cease to reign so long as Christ is on the throne. So long as Christ wears the crown. And how long is that going to be? Where the throne is eternal. It's forever and ever, ages of ages. Ages to ages, it's eternal. We're going to have such elevated positions. We're going to reign with the Lord Jesus Christ. And here today, even as Christians, some have been saved many, many years, and yet, at times, knowingly or unknowingly, we come short. It's His desire that we sin not. But then thank God, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, who is the propitiation for our sins. Basically, he turns to God and he says, Father, I have paid it. I've paid for that too. I have paid for that too. And the Father looks at his loving Son, whom he loves. He says, yes, Son, I know it. I know it. You became sin for them, for that person. You became sin for George. Yes, I know it. I'll forgive him. Oh, what grace. What grace and what mercy. So judgment are the fate of the unrepented and the unredeemed, as the kingdom is the destiny of the redeemed believers. Of the redeemed believers. Now, the dedication of the book of Revelation. The opening verses are so important that that's why I'm taking time to give us a good foundation as we go further. I'm not going to, as I mentioned before, I'm not going to cover every detail of the book of Revelation. I'm going to take certain just portions here and there just to make wonderful points to us, to encourage us. So the dedication of Revelation is mentioned in verses 5 and 6. We read, it describes the revelation of Jesus Christ in terms of his relation to believers. In terms of his relation to the believers. Here's what it says. It says, unto him that loved us or loveth us and washed us from our sins by his own blood and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. This is the dedication. There are three activities, wonderful activities mentioned in this verse. One is, he loveth or loves. The other one is, he washed or he loosed. He washed us. He washed us from our sins. And then the third one, he made us, what? Kings and priests unto God. So you have he loved, he loosed, washed, he made. He loved us. He loved us, it says, with an everlasting and unchangeable love. With delight which passeth knowledge. And here again, I have a friend, such a friend, he loved me ere I knew him. That's what's such an amazing love. Yes, we say, well, God is love. He innately is love. Yes, he is. But again, Lord, mighty, upholding all things by the word of his power, ruling in the heaven of heavens, he would take notice of me and he would love me so much. That's what's so amazing. He loves with delight, with passes knowledge, and will never end. It's a permanent attitude toward the saved. What a God we have. What a Savior we have. A lot of people, oh yeah, yeah, I believe in God. I believe. If we could just keep on and on and on and keep looking at the love of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ toward us, sinners, on the way to hell and lost eternity, and that by our own choice. By our own choice. And he had to come, and we didn't like that. And yes, he was crucified by wicked men, but he was crucified because of me also. He was crucified because of me. He had to pay the debt that we owed. I owed a debt I could never pay. He paid the debt he didn't owe. I needed someone to take my sins away. He did. He did. He will never end. His love will never, never end. It says his love is with delight. It's so amazing. He hates sin so much. And yet, he loves us with delight. It gives him such wonderful pleasure to love us, which he has shown espousing all of our persons as a bride, as a bride. And I think about the oath that people are getting married at the wedding ceremony. Love and cherish. Love and cherish. Yes, I do. Here we have our Lord Jesus. He loves. It delights him to love us. And he understands our cause. He knows we are weak. He knows we are sinful. He knows we are born in sin. And yet he's so long-suffering to us, with not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And what did he do? How did he assume? How did he undertake our cause? Look what he did. He assumed our nature. Or not sinful nature. Not sinful nature. But in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren. You have people with flesh and blood. He also himself took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Assumed our nature. Perfect, without sin. God manifest in the flesh. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God, the fullness of the Godhead. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. And then the Word became or was made flesh and dwelt among us. What grace! What grace! What pity! What love! So assumed human nature. And then he gave himself for us as a God-pleasing sacrifice. Propitiation. He satisfied every bit of God's demands against our sins. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring, and so on? And he says, I cry in the daytime, and thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent, but thou art holy. I'm going to satisfy, Lord, your holiness. I'm going to satisfy your holiness. He had to die and to shed his precious blood for all of us. All of us. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, oh, how rich he was, the whole universe was under his power and might. And he was upholding everything, everything that exists. So though he was rich, yet for your sakes, yet for our sakes, he became poor that we, through his poverty might be made rich, might become rich. Oh, what a Savior. What love, what love, what love, what love. He loved us. He loved us. And then he washed us. And what's so amazing is he loved us first before he washed us. There's it's such a wonderful thing about this. You see, he really wasn't forced into shedding his blood, washing us. But his love motivated him to come down. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. First he loved, then he washed by giving himself to us, again as a sacrifice, God-pleasing, God-satisfying sacrifice, and dying and shedding his blood for us, for us. First he loved, and then he washes. And that makes it so precious to us to think that washing us was because of the outpouring of his love. In other words, he became willingly obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, because he had that love for us. Yes, the Father did too. But he was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Yet, all that time, he's God, upholding all things by the word of his power. And when he by himself purged our sins. He loved and he washed. Why did he have to wash? Well, because we're in ourselves unclean through sin. Sinners, disobedient to God, and yet he loves. Hard to understand, but it's there in the Word of God. It's there in the Word of God. And this is why the first few verses of Revelation is such a wonderful foundation to grasp. And then we could understand the rest of the Revelation much more easily, knowing that we have such a loving and caring God, and knowing that it's not his will that any should perish. Here we, in ourselves, we're unclean. We needed washing. And at the same time, we could not cleanse ourselves. Adam and Eve had leaves to cover themselves. God said, no, that's not good enough. No, you can't do it. I'm going to do it. He had to clothe them. And he is the Lord. No one, we cannot. There's nothing we could do. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. There's none that doeth righteousness or righteous. There's none that doeth good, nor not one. We needed so much help, because we could never cleanse ourselves. And such was, of course, the love of Christ to us, that he shed his precious blood for us. At the same time, the very people he was shedding his blood for, they were crucifying him on the cross. Crucifying him on the cross. His precious blood that will cleanse us from all sins. So now, in the sight of God, we are as righteous as the Lord Jesus is. For God has made him to be sin for us who knew not sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God that's acceptable to God in him. We are righteous. In the sight of God, we are without spot. He is our propitiation. We sin. Again, he says, yes, Father, I know. He is a greater debtor, but I've paid his debt. He is a lesser debtor. Yes, I've paid his debt also. They can't pay, but I have paid. So this, with that spot. And now they are made priests and kings, priests and kings. So here you have, washed us by dying and shedding his blood for us. And then, the third one is he made. What did he make? He made kings and priests. The amazing thing is, the kings in the Old Testament had dynasties, you know, they die and then the children take over and so on, and then of course some other guy comes and overthrows him and takes over and so on. That's happening in the Northern Kingdom, but then in Southern Kingdom after Saul, it was David's kingdom, and it was one dynasty, and so he had, I think, 20 different kings coming behind him. Northern Kingdom had 19 kings and 9 dynasties. But here, we are made kings and priests, which cannot be taken away. Cannot be taken away. We are kings and priests as long as he is kings and priests. The effect which that love has produced in the work of redemption. We become kings and priests. How is that? By being the sons of God. And that's another amazing thing. You see, we a lot of times, would want to talk about myself. A lot of times, I'm praying, Father, thank you for this wonderful day that you have given us. Father, without thinking, Father, I am now the Son of God. He is my Father. I could call him Father, not as Father in creation, yes. He created, as a creator, he is Father, but as my Savior now, I am his Son. I have the same righteousness that the Lord Jesus Christ does, being the Son of God. And I have the power and privilege that I have received from Christ. Anything that he has, I have. Now, why, Lord? Why? Why? Angels don't have that privilege. I do. Sinful man. And we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. And here we keep talking about this, but it's such a wonderful thing. What does Christ have? We share. Joint heirs, not inferior heirs. Joint heirs. We are with Christ. As long as he lives, we live. As long as he rules, we rule. And we inherit what he inherits. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. And also, Christ makes us priests to offer up spiritual sacrifices of prayer and praise. Prayer and praise. I could expand on this a little bit, but we have just a few minutes left. I think maybe I should stop here and then pick it up next time from here on. Brothers and sisters, just think about what we have gained. Not just escaping hell and a lost eternity, fire and brimstone, but we not only have Christ as our own Savior and Redeemer, but we are inheritors of his inheritance. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Can you imagine what a privilege we have in Christ Jesus? My biggest concern as a young kid, thank God, as a young kid, I learned all about the Lord Jesus Christ and his saving power. I learned that I was a sinful person, and I learned that had I died, I would have gone to hell. But my whole aim was, I just, I just want to escape hell. Who wants to burn forever and ever? The rich man died, and in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. Here is just the unseen world. But what about the lake of fire? And yet, when we are saved, we have everything. And also we have Christ. And also we have God as our Father. I'll stop here, and Lord willing, whenever the Lord allows, by his grace and love, we'll pick it up from here. What a rich, rich book Revelation is. And our privileges we have by being Christians, redeemed by his precious blood. Our Father, we don't have the words nor the thoughts of the fullest appreciation of what we have in the person of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What a privilege we have, Lord. We just pray that you would continue to enlighten us more and more and more as the revelation is going to be unfolding, one truth after another, and just, Father, that we would just continue to learn to be more and more like our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Beholding in a glass to be changed into his image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. We give you thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.